Ask the grown-ups to be seated and any children who'd like to come forward to come join me up here for a minute. Thank you. Glad to see you this morning. Oh, here we have a few more. Yay. Come on up. Welcome, welcome. So, how many of you have ever been to a birthday party? Yep, I've been to a birthday party. How many of you have ever had a birthday? Yep, I've had a few. Well, if you've been to a birthday party, you know that there are some things we do at birthday parties. We sing happy birthday. Usually we get to eat cake. And what does the cake have on it sometimes? Candles. There are certain things we do with birthdays. Sometimes we even wear hats that say happy birthday on them. Well, today is a really special day in the church. It is. Thank you so much, Clayton. It is the church's birthday today. It's happy birthday to the church. On this day, over 2,000 years ago, God started the church. The Holy Spirit came, sounded like wind, and it looked sort of like fire. And all the people who had been followers of Jesus felt the Holy Spirit, and they went out and they started talking about Jesus, and churches started all over the world. So today is kind of like the church's birthday, and we call it Pentecost. So I want you to remember this every year when we come to this time. We change all the colors to red to remind us that the Holy Spirit looked sort of like fire on that day. We sing hymns about Pentecost, wishing the church a happy birthday and thanking God for all that God has done. It's a yearly tradition, just like your birthday. So let's say happy birthday to the church, shall we? Happy birthday, church. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the gift of the church. The church today, where we get to come and be with other people and be loved and to share your love with others. We thank you for the 2,000 years of the church and pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to work through us and help us talk about Jesus and share his love with the world each and every day. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back where you were seated with parents, grandparents, or friends. I always feel like those moments with our children work better if you have a prop of some kind. So I went looking for a birthday hat this week, and I struck out. I went to the CVS, no birthday hats. I even looked for those little, you know, the things that you blow that unroll, and nothing. No birthday things whatsoever. So I went up the hill to the Kroger, no birthday hats, no birthday party favors. I was really tempted to go up to the cashier and be really bold and say, "You don't happen to have any Pentecost decorations, do you? Do you have any Pentecost hats? No, everything's all about the July 4th now in the Kroger." Unfortunately, the world doesn't pay much attention to Pentecost, even though it really is one of the high holy days of the church. Behind Easter and Christmas comes Pentecost. This is a deeply important day for us in the church, a day when the Holy Spirit was poured out afresh upon all people, and the church was born. And those ordinary disciples of Jesus started preaching and teaching and proclaiming the good news of Jesus, and the church spread throughout the whole Mediterranean world and beyond. Of course, the fact that the world doesn't really recognize Pentecost has some advantages. Our celebration of it is not complicated by all the commercialization that comes with Christmas, especially, and Easter to a certain extent. But on the flip side, it means that we don't always know as much about Pentecost as we do Christmas and Easter. Even we in the church don't always know what Pentecost is really about. So it's important for us to go back to this story in the second chapter of Acts that tells us what happened on that Pentecost Sunday. To get us oriented in the timeline, which Brandon really helped us to do last week, Jesus was raised from the dead on Easter Sunday. And Luke tells us that for 40 days, he appeared to his followers. And he instructed them and taught them. And then at the end of those 40 days, he gathered them for one last time before he ascended back to heaven to be with the Father. Before he ascended, he gave them some final instructions. Stay in Jerusalem and wait. Don't do anything. Just stay together and wait until you get a sign from me. And so that's what they were doing. And when chapter 2 opens, Luke tells us they were all gathered together in the same place on the day of Pentecost. Now, who's they? We find out in chapter 1 that there are 120 disciples of Jesus gathered together, men and women who had followed him throughout Galilee. Even Jesus' mother was among them. Isn't that fascinating that Mary had become a disciple of Jesus and she was there on the day of Pentecost? We can only imagine who some of the others were, but 120 of them, Galileans. Now, Pentecost was a Jewish festival, a Jewish holiday. And so people, Jews from all over the world, had come to Jerusalem to worship in the temple and celebrate the festival of Pentecost. And so here we have these 120 disciples of Jesus gathered there in one place, and lo and behold, the Holy Spirit comes upon them and fills them, and each and every one of them begins speaking in a different language, all the languages of the earth. These were ordinary folk, nobodies really. Galileans would have been considered country bumpkins by the city folk of Jerusalem, and certainly by the international Jews who were there. And yet here they were proclaiming the gospel of Jesus in every language. And Peter stands up to preach, and by the end of it, 3,000 people have become Christians, and the church is born. I have the image in my mind of the Big Bang. You know that theory that there was an explosion, and then the planets and stars went spreading out across the universe. It's like they were gathered in one place, and then the Holy Spirit exploded among them, and they spread the gospel throughout the world. This is a wonderful day in the life of the church. And those of us who plan worship have a lot of fun with Pentecost. There are all sorts of things that we can do on Pentecost. You can invite everybody to wear red so we see a sea of red and can imagine the tongues of fire upon everyone. I've been in churches where we've had liturgical dancers and banners and doves and incredible music and all of those things, and it feels like a big celebration. But I have to confess that over the course of this week, I haven't felt very much like having a party. On Monday, I went to the hospital to be with some family friends who had received the most devastating news I could possibly imagine. And I walked into their hospital room, and I did not have language. I did not have words that I could say to them. All I could do was sit by the bedside and hold their hands and cry with them. And I prayed silently in sighs too deep for words. Then on Tuesday, driving into the church in the morning, listening to the radio and hearing all about the violence in Jerusalem. And I've been to Jerusalem, and I've got a little bit of understanding about the layers and layers of complexity and enmity in between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And to see it exploding again, I didn't have words. I didn't have language to make sense of it. And then on Friday, I was sitting at my desk in my office, and Julie Catterton, who sits around the corner, called out to me and said, "Carol, did you hear about the shooting?" And I just laid my head on my desk and wept. Because I don't have any more words. And so in preparing for this Pentecost celebration, I began to wonder, what does this story of Pentecost have to say to all that has happened this week? What is speaking to us from this story into these situations of grief and violence and pain? And then I remembered the story. How each of these disciples was filled with the Holy Spirit and the gospel was proclaimed in every language. The gospel was not just proclaimed to people who were happy and successful. The church was not born among those who were always victorious. In fact, the church spread most quickly among the poor and the oppressed and the suffering of those days. There was something about the word that was being proclaimed that could be heard and understood in every situation and by every person, no matter who they were or what they were going through. After I walked back from Midtown Hospital on Monday afternoon, I wasn't ready to go upstairs and check my email, so I came in here and I sat in the back row in the silence, and I wept. And then I looked up and I saw the cross. And I remembered that the gospel is about a God who is made known to us through suffering on a cross. A God who is revealed to us through weakness and vulnerability. A God who is with us in our grief and our struggling and in those dark places where we have no words and we have no answers. That's where the Holy Spirit takes us and reminds us of the presence and power of God to speak love and hope and compassion in all languages. We baptized this beautiful child this morning, and we prayed for the Holy Spirit to work within her. And if you've been baptized, the church has prayed for you that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you might be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. My friends, God has given each and every one of you a language that you can speak and people who will understand it. For some of you, like these care partners we commissioned, the language you speak is the ability to go and sit with someone in a deep place of grief, suffering, and struggle and be present and be the love of God, the light of Christ. And that doesn't always require words. For some of you, you have the gift to speak when there is another gun tragedy in our culture. And you know how to respond to that and to mobilize people for change. That is the language God has given you. For others of us, the language is the ability to speak to children, to help them know that they are loved and to teach them the ways of the faith. Each of us has been filled with the Holy Spirit and given a language to speak. And my privilege on this day, when we celebrate the birthday of the church, is to remind you and to remind myself and all of us in the church that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need to proclaim the gospel in every language. Amen.